Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Amber Stott. She is the CEO and Chief Food Genius for the Food Literacy Center. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you could be back. And like I always talk about when we get you on the air, the mission of the Food Literacy Center is to inspire kids to eat their vegetables. Foodliteracycenter.org is the website. We've got some exciting news to share. The Raising Kale podcast is on the air. Well, okay, it's online anyway, but we're on the air to talk about it.
It's very exciting. We're so thrilled that it has launched and that folks can now download and listen.
I know you guys have been working hard on that for a while now.
Yeah, we started that pre-COVID. The first episode is actually done in studio, in person, and you can tell.
Oh, my goodness. Actual in-person broadcasting.
Remember those days?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know what? Hopefully they'll be back one day soon.
Yeah.
All right. For our listeners who haven't heard of you guys, what is food literacy and why is it so important?
Well, it's so critical because in Sacramento alone, we have a 40% childhood obesity rate. And these are kids who are at high risk for other diet-related diseases like type 2 diabetes. And so essentially, you know, if we're not eating well, it's very hard to focus in school. It can affect academic performance. And then, of course, your health and well-being is just everything. It's one of our most precious resources, and we're learning that during COVID. So we want to keep these kids safe and healthy. And the best way to do that is to prevent these diet-related diseases from ever happening. So we work with elementary kids, the youngest kids possible, and we go into elementary schools in low-income Title I schools, and we're teaching them cooking and nutrition. And during COVID, since we can't be with them, we're sending them home with recipe kits that they can cook with their families. So all about protecting our health and using the abundance that we have here in the America's farm-to-fork capital.
I remember growing up and I kept hearing, you are what you eat. It's so important. And of course, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, what do you old people know? You know, what are you talking about? But of course you realize, yeah, it is so very important. And after you wake up in the morning, you got to figure your body's been going for 8 hours or so without any kind of nutrition. So that's one of the reasons why breakfast is so important, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, you hear the stories and they are true. We're working with kids who live in food deserts where the main place to get food is often a convenience store. So you do see a lot of bags of chips and bottles of soda for breakfast. So it's really important that we reach these kids while they're young and help them learn these healthy habits. And really, they do fall in love with fruits and vegetables quite quickly, actually, because many of them have never been exposed to a lot of these foods. And when they are, and when, you know, we have the opportunity to remove all of the other items from our classroom, in the absence of those, kids really do enjoy fruits and vegetables. And so it's a good place in our setting to be able to get them hooked on these fruits and vegetables and get them, you know, with these healthy habits, because they do go home and request these foods. And in fact, during COVID, it's been really great to have so much family interaction with our students,
right?
Because it's the parents who are picking up these recipe boxes and taking them home to cook with the kids. And the parents come back and say, you know, we actually want more vegetables. Our kids love them. So by working with these kids over many years, we're now a 9-year-old nonprofit. We've actually really helped these kids develop habits that they're bringing back to their families. And so that's been one bright spot of this very challenging pandemic, is that we are seeing these really positive results.
You were the first one that put food deserts on my radar, and that just was so stunning to me. Let's touch a little bit more on that, Amber.
Yeah, so a food desert is a USDA signification and it, by zip code, and essentially it means that within a certain radius, you can't find a traditional grocery store. And so you're talking about communities where the main source of, you know, a little store that you might go to get your quote unquote groceries is a convenience store where there's probably mostly alcohol. And then, you know, how you go into a gas station or something and there's a couple of boxes of noodles that you heat and a few other staple items. And that's about it. So
right.
Maybe some brown bananas, you know. And so it's really important that we help to improve access in these neighborhoods. And there are tons of great farmers markets that have popped up in a lot of these neighborhoods. We partner with lots of other nonprofits that, for example, offer EBT or food stamp benefits at these markets where they can get match. If they spend $20, they get $20 in match. So we talk to our kids about those programs and make sure that they go home with flyers, understanding that those programs exist and anything we can do to help get the vegetables closer to the kids.
Eating healthy food, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's time to raise kale. Yeah, the new podcast is up and running, so give me some of the basics of raising kale.
Sure. This is a passion project for me. I really wanted to tell the stories of folks who I admire, and I call them kale raisers. A kale raiser is somebody who gets in good trouble using food as a tool. So I'm talking to folks from around the country who are doing really cool things to solve the various problems in our food system.
That's fantastic. The first three episodes are up, and I know in episode one, you talked to Elise Bauer. She's the founder of Simply Recipes. Tell me about that, Amber.
Yeah, Elise is one of my mentors. She was on the board of our nonprofit for many years, and she's just a regular person who later in life, in her 40s, said, gosh, I need to learn all my mom and dad's great recipes and teach myself to cook. And she started putting them online, and she shares the story of how, you know, a recipe for oxtail stew that was a family favorite sort of launched what has become one of the largest recipe sites in the world. And she talks about making food approachable and not scary for folks that maybe don't know how to cook some of this stuff.
I had some friends that were really into oxtail soup, and they just love it, but I've always been scared to try it.
The way she describes it in the podcast, you'll have to tune in. It will make your mouth water.
That sounds great. I'm definitely going to try it now. All right, episode two features Ken Miska, and something new I haven't heard about. Is it a chef farmer?
Yeah, so this is another friend of mine. He lives in Illinois, and he was working in elite restaurants in Vegas for some of the most renowned chefs. And working his way up as a chef, and his dad came out to his restaurant and kind of didn't understand the food he was cooking. And it kind of set Ken back a bit and thought, gosh, what am I doing? He packed up his chef knife, he moved back to Illinois, and he became a chef farmer. And you'll have to listen to the podcast to find out what that is. But yeah, he just changed everything. And today he's running a very successful business. He's just got a wonderful story that I think you'll really enjoy.
Well, you are truly a broadcaster now because you just did the ultimate tease, making everybody tune in. Going to have to listen to episode two with Ken Miska, a chef farmer at Epiphany Farms, to find out more. All right, Amber, episode three, you talked to Crystal Oriada. She's the senior director of programs and policy for the National Farm to School Network. Tell me how that went.
Such a great story. She is someone who has been a social justice fighter her entire career. She was on the Barack Obama presidential campaign and has done so many amazing things with her career. And she shifted into working on school lunch. And she explains why social justice issues are school lunch issues and the campaign that she's fighting for to change school lunch at the federal level. So it's a fantastic story of the tie between social justice and school lunch.
So important to feed kids healthy food.
Absolutely. And she talks about how this is a right and we shouldn't expect kids to come to school and not have access to good quality food. So I really admire what she's doing, and their proposed policy is making its way to D.C. So she's a real kale raiser.
I love that. Give me the description of a kale raiser again.
It is somebody who's getting into good trouble and using food as a tool.
Well, going back to what you said to the people that are living in food deserts and, you know, they start their day having a breakfast of a bag of chips and a soda. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have 50% of Americans who are sick because of their diets, and this is preventable. And one of the best ways to prevent these diet-related diseases is eating fruits and vegetables. And in fact, Doug, what's really sad is that a report came out yesterday that fruit and vegetable consumption across the country is actually falling. Mm. And we actually see the opposite with our kids. At our schools, in one of our schools, we have 100% of our students who will happily eat a new fruit or vegetable. So our program really does work, and we are defying all odds in the kinds of successes that we are seeing. So we really hope that folks will go to our website, foodliteracycenter.org, to get involved. We hope people will educate themselves by listening to the Raising Kale podcast, because we really need more people that know and care about these issues if we can really move the dial and continue to push that boulder up the hill.
We're so proud to be working with you to help get the word out, too. And it reminds me of when I was growing up, too. I mean, I liked apples. I liked bananas. I liked the sweeter fruits.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's one thing that we really focus on, because most kids will willingly taste a fruit. But the vegetables, of course, are the harder challenge, you know, because there's bitter flavors like radishes or arugula. And so we really work to get them to be food adventurers so that they're open to exploring. And then we also, if they do come across a flavor that they are not into, we don't make a big deal of it. And that is really important for behavior change. You'll see a lot of times where an adult might experience a kid who maybe they try to give them a bell pepper and they don't want it at the time. And then the next time bell peppers are there and that same kid is there, we tend to label them as, oh, you don't like those, because remember the one time? Well, it can take 10 to 15 tastes before a kid decides they actually like something. So just because they don't like it once, keep giving it to them, because eventually they may discover that they're actually in love with that fruit or vegetable.
And if you've got broccoli and it's not tasting good, just dip it in some ranch dressing, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a very legitimate way to do it.
Is that legal, though? I mean, you know, is that very healthy if you do that? I guess, well, it depends on the ranch, right?
Certainly, we don't want to be drinking cups of ranch, but dipping your broccoli in some, totally fair.
Nice. Okay. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Amber Stott. She is the chief food genius and kale raiser at the Food Literacy Center. The new podcast, Raising Kale, is up and running, and you can find out all about it at foodliteracycenter.org. All right, going back to what you guys do on a regular basis before the podcast, let's talk about the kids that the Food Literacy Center serves, Amber.
Yeah, so we are specifically working in food deserts. Many of the children that we serve are black and brown, and they are at highest risk for diet-related disease. And that's why we specifically are targeting them, because we want to reach them when they're young, before they develop any eating habits, because it's very difficult to undo a bad habit, as we adults all know.
Right.
But it's much easier to build a healthy habit. If you look at different behavior change campaigns that have been successful over the years, like seat belts and anti-tobacco, those specific campaigns targeted not drivers and smokers, but little kids. Why? Because they go home and they pester their parents, so hopefully they change the parents' behavior, but also they develop those healthy habits before they ever get a driver's license, for example. So
sure,
it's really important that we reach the youngest kids possible.
How do you make learning about health and nutrition fun?
Oh my gosh, that is one of our primary goals, is to make sure everything is fun. You know, we just want to take a page out of the junk food company's playbook. And really, you know, it's not about taking anything away. And a lot of times people think that, you know, oh, if I eat fruits and vegetables, I can't eat all this other stuff. So we start with adding these things that are missing from your life that are actually really delicious and bring a lot of joy. And so we have a cheer that we do, a fruit and veggie cheer that we start each class with. Sometimes we wear vegetable costumes, and every one of our staff, it's our motto to show up with joy. These are just some of the ways that we, and then of course, everything is hands-on, right? And kids really like to learn these complicated subjects like science and math by working hands-on.
I want to be in one of these classes. That sounds like fun.
Well, hey, did you know we also wrote a book.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, tell me about the new book.
Anyone could get our book and learn some of these really fun hands-on science and math experiments that we do with kids. It's called Food Anatomy Activities for Kids, and you can get it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And it's filled with really cool activities. So, for example, there's a lesson about salt, and we want kids to learn about osmosis. So we make salt-cured egg yolks. Mm. We have another lesson where we want kids to learn about yeast. And so we make bread. And so there's all these great, really fun activities that are science experiments that you can eat.
What kind of changes do you see in the kids over the course of a school year, Amber?
The change actually happens really fast, like within weeks. It's really quite impressive. We start really basic with the kids. We don't want to scare them. We want them to feel like they can succeed in our program. So we actually start with a peanut butter sandwich. And we swap out the jelly for fresh fruit slices. And we explain to the kids that they should eat a fruit or vegetable with every snack or meal. And by the way, the new study that I mentioned earlier is showing that Americans are not even eating an average of one fruit or vegetable a day. Mm. So we want kids eating one with every snack and meal. So we swap out jelly for fresh fruit slices in that peanut butter sandwich. And kids immediately fall in love with it because it is really good. You should eat it sometime. And then we take them on a journey of sort of swapping things that are culturally appropriate, that are foods that they're familiar with. So we do a tostada where we make it homemade and we put fresh vegetables and this great cabbage slaw on top. We change out noodle soup that's got a pho broth, but any kind of noodle will do. And so we gradually make these changes to foods that are familiar to our kids. And very quickly, they start to become more adventurous in what they're eating. And then we simultaneously give them just a new fruit or vegetable to taste. So sometimes it might be bok choy. Another day it might be beets. Another day it might be cactus. We want to change their knowledge, but attitude is the most important thing to change, as we have seen with the COVID crisis when it comes to public health, right?
Sure.
We want to change attitudes. And so the minute a kid stops saying, ew, gross, to a new food, we know we've got them curious rather than nervous about trying a new food. And that usually only takes a few weeks. And we really see kids begin to actually tell us their very favorite thing is tasting a new fruit or vegetable.
That's outstanding. Of course, I'm still thinking about that peanut butter sandwich and how good it would be with, instead of jelly or jam, you know, put some sliced strawberry on there.
Oh, yeah. Another good one is pears.
Hmm.
So good.
I love pears.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I know this is going to be a tough question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What's your all-time favorite recipe to make with the kids?
Oh, man. I would say a really fun one is our spring rolls.
Mm.
We take the rice paper itself. It's just so fun to learn and talk about that hands-on, right? I mean, rice paper is kind of magic. It's like it comes out and it looks like plastic. And it's a big disc of plastic, what looks like plastic. You put a little water on it and suddenly it's pliable. And then you put any kind of vegetable in. And as you roll it, you can see through it, right? And so the more color you put in your spring roll, it's just very visually appealing. And then we make these delicious dipping sauces. We make a vinegar-based dipping sauce and we make a sun butter-based dipping sauce. And so, you know, any kind of hand finger food that you're dipping, it's just, the kids love it. And it's really funny to watch them. You know, we have some kids who are familiar with the rice paper wrapper, and then we have other kids who just, like, try to roll it into a ball. So it's really fun to watch the kids learn it, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, that's great. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Well, I'm betting you have quite a few of them, but let's talk about a couple of your success stories, Amber.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about Gage. Gage was a kindergartner. He had already had a year of food literacy classes with me back when I was still a teacher and starting the nonprofit. There was a little girl sitting at the same table as him. Every fruit or vegetable that we had, we were making a salad that day. She was, ew, I don't like vegetables. And so finally I said, well, gosh, that's too bad because Gage, he just loves vegetables. And as if on cue, we had some baby kale. He reached into the center of the table, grabs this giant fistful, shoves it in his mouth, and starts chewing. This little girl, like, she just had the smallest amount of salad on her plate. And I saw her reach down, pick up a leaf, put it in her mouth, I turn around to help some other kids, and by the time I came back, her entire plate was gone, and she was asking for more. So it was really cute to see that kind of change. And that's really common with kids. They'll see the bravery of someone sitting next to them and go, well, gosh, he didn't die. He must be okay. In fact, he's having fun. What am I missing out here? So we really love when we have the kids that get so enthusiastic that they end up inspiring the kids sitting next to them.
That's great. What a great story. Way to go, Gage.
Exactly.
All right, Amber, in case someone's just joining us, it's time to raise kale. Yeah, the new podcast is up and running, so tell us all about Raising Kale.
Oh, it's been such a great project to work on, especially doing something creative during this challenging time and calling folks from around the country who are doing amazing things. I'm talking to kale raisers, and I define that as people who are getting into good trouble using food as a tool. For example, I called the program director at Jose Andres' nonprofit, World Central Kitchen, and talked to her about why we have empty shelves during COVID. It's part of what's called a broken food system. That whole course of distribution from the packaging to the warehousing, when pieces of that fail, our grocery store shelves end up empty. And so this woman, Alexandra, is actually working on resilience. We heard that word a lot during COVID as well.
Right.
And resilience is basically the ability to bounce back after a difficult time. And so for something like a food system, it's like, if it's resilient, how long before those products return to the store shelf? She's actually, before this pandemic, worked around the world going into countries that were prone to natural disasters like hurricanes or earthquakes to help them build their local food economies to ensure that they would be resilient during and after these kinds of disasters. And so it was really fun to talk to her about that work and really associate it with what's going on here in America around COVID.
That's great. We're running out of time, but before we go, let's talk a little bit more about the book, Food Anatomy, Activities for Kids.
Yeah, it's so fun. Kids are going to learn a lot from this book. There's a little bit about culture, a little bit about history, and then, of course, we take everything into the kitchen so that kids can learn hands-on. So, for example, we have a lesson about cocoa beans, and then we make a Oaxacan hot chocolate. We learn about the different ways to melt chocolate in our drink, and we combine that with cinnamon like they would in Oaxaca.
You got me all excited about a peanut butter sandwich, rice paper, and now, man, I'll tell you, that's good stuff, Amber. Absolutely.
So much fun stuff.
Yeah, it's always a great time to get you on the air, Amber. Thank you so much for joining me. Amber Stott is the chief food genius and kale raiser at the Food Literacy Center. The new podcast, Raising Kale, is a call to action with food. Educational, without being snooty, solution-oriented, offering ways listeners can help and become part of the story and part of the solution. Find out all about it, foodliteracycenter.org. Thank you so much for your time, Amber.
Thank you. Have a watermelon wonderful day.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, send an email to sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.